The Alex Goldstein Property Show. Stray FM.
Welcome again to the Alex Goldstein Property Show, the number one property show on Stray FM. We aim to demystify the property sector plus its associated industries and give you exceptional tips and expert insight. Now, if you need that property hit, then connect with the Alex Goldstein social media accounts to get the very best property advice whenever you need it. In this month's show, we will be getting the inside track from interior designer Eleanor Goddard from Furnish and Fettle, putting Mauro from Cathedral Finance in the hot seat and grilling him about mortgages, plus some great tips and cutting-edge property insight. Lots to fit in, so we're straight on with it.
Property News with Alex Goldstein.
Stray FM.
This month, it's all about client service. Now, something I value incredibly highly in business is integrity. The yardstick I use to measure this is the transparency with which people operate. And I've long said that if you put your clients at the forefront of everything you do, the clients are going to come your way. Yet, let's face it, client service, it can be used incessantly as one of those buzzwords on company websites. And many claim to care for their clients, but do they really? In my mind, it's a case of going back to basics. Looking in a client's best interest is putting them at the absolute centre of everything. I ask myself most days, look, if the client was a member of my family, how would I advise them? Constantly amazed at how many referral fees go on behind the scenes, and this isn't just in the property sector. Whilst a referred company may be good at what they offer, as soon as a monetary incentive is introduced into the mix, you've instantly got a bias. I'm regularly approached by businesses offering some kind of incentive to gain access to my clients, but I always turn them down, to the amazement, I have to say, of some of them. Now, I've been in the business 15 years building relationships with people I trust, and yes, I've got a bank of solid, dependable contacts. I suggest their products and services to my clients. However, it's safe in the knowledge that they're the right one for each client and full confidence they're going to do a good job. None of them ever ask for kickbacks when they send people my way, and neither do I seek anything of them. We're looking at the bigger picture, you might say. So, to put this in context, for example, Robert, the decorator, I suggest he's been in business for over 17 years and he's of the old school. I say he's the only decorator I know that listens to Classic FM whilst he works, and that sums him up perfectly. He always does a great job at a fair price and sometimes even offers my clients a discount, as he knows they've come from me and they're going to be easy to deal with because I've guided the client prior to his visit. It's a win-win situation for all involved. Robert gets a decoration job on the right basis. My client has a home presented to a great standard, which in turn makes mine and the appointed agent's job much easier. The property is then sold at the best price. The payback for me is way more valuable than any below-the-counter monetary backhander, and that is word-of-mouth repeat business. And I want people to talk about me to each other, and that simply happens by putting them first and doing a great job. As I mentioned in my recent Yorkshire Post column, 92% of my business came from word-of-mouth recommendations last year, and that probably tells you all you need to know. It's great to have Eleanor Goddard from Furnish and Fettle here in the studio with me today. Eleanor, thanks so much for coming in. Tell us a bit more, because it's quite interesting where you guys are at the moment, because it's all a relatively new business, isn't it?
It is, Alex. Yes, basically Furnish and Fettle was born last summer, on the morning of Brexit, actually, which was a
well-timed, well-timed, possibly.
Indeed. So, we bought the James Brindley business in Wetherby, which had to be rebranded. So Furnish and Fettle was born then.
Fantastic. And I also hear there's some more exciting news as well. You guys don't really hang about, from what I gather.
No, we definitely don't. So we had the opportunity to buy the James Brindley Interior Design Division in January this year. So we set ourselves a very short timescale, and we opened our second Furnish and Fettle showroom in Royal Parade at the end of March.
So that's in Harrogate, obviously.
That's
right by Valley Garden. So within what time frame was that from opening your doors initially to then opening up your Harrogate branch? Must have been about 6 months, I guess.
I think it's slightly longer. I think it's eight or nine months.
There you go. Pretty impressive stuff. So given that you've now sort of taken out the James Brindley side of things, what you've got this amalgamation, what are the sort of things that say, yourselves and an interior designer, what are the services that you actually offer now?
Right, well, essentially now we've got the original Jane Sprinley interior design team back together.
Okay.
So we've got a very established team of people that are used to working together. And not only do we have the design team, we also have the installations team. And that's really important because it doesn't matter how good a design is, if actually when you get your curtains arrive, if they don't fit properly and they're not put up properly, the end result isn't going to be that great. So that's really key to what we offer, is the whole process, really. So we can offer anything from whether it's just a tin of paint or a roll of wallpaper for a feature wall, right through to a full interior design service. And we can also work on larger projects and renovation projects in conjunction with architects. So we really can offer that whole process.
How does an interior designer actually help a homeowner? What can you actually do? What do you do?
Yeah, I think it's a big misconception that interior designers are really only there for people like footballers' wives and these amazing, great, big pads.
Yeah, there is that. There is often that impression. Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, we really offer two different sides to the way that we work. I mean, there's the very sort of straightforward, accessible to everybody option where you can come into our showroom and you can spend the time choosing the right colour and getting that expert advice, which won't cost you any more than if you went to B&Q to buy your tin of paint.
Got you. So that's I suppose is the more simplistic side of things, and
absolutely,
it's the general sort of basics for wallpaper and paint. And then
yeah,
what's the reverse side of things?
The reverse side of things is that you would pay an interior design fee, which is £175, which we're confident is market leading for the value that represents. So the designer would then come out to your home and would spend as much time as they need to understanding what it is that you're really looking to achieve from your project and how you live in the space, how you want it to feel, and what it is that you're looking for at the end of that project. They would then come back to the showroom and they'd put a lot of work in behind the scenes, getting different things together and sourcing pieces for you and pulling a scheme together, perhaps getting some ideas for different wall coverings or fabrics for your curtains together. And then at that stage, they'd probably invite you back into the showroom and take you through it. So all the way through, it's a collaborative process. I mean, essentially, we're pulling together all the different products that are out there in the marketplace, and it's a vast marketplace. I mean, I think we've got something like over 100 different suppliers just of fabrics.
Oh, crikey.
And I know for a fact that we've got over 2,000 fabric books just in Harrogate because we had to move them from Jane Sprinley into our own showroom at Wetherby.
So that's really where an interior designer will come into their own, because they will intrinsically know inside
absolutely
out all of that information and can pinpoint various options and save effectively the homeowner a lot of time and hassle and sort of start to hone in on specifics at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's that when you would walk in and we see it all the time. People walk into the showroom and they go, oh crikey, where do I start? Yeah. And you say, right, okay, well, you know, what are you looking for? Oh, I want some curtains for my lounge. And it's then paring that down to actually what it is they're looking for and being able to then take them to perhaps looking through, you know, 5 or 6 books which might then have 30 fabrics in each, and being able to pare that down to a couple of choices and just taking away that completely overwhelming situation that you can walk in and go, oh.
I quite agree. And I mean, what happens? I mean, obviously, a lot of listeners have got children. Everyone's always mindful, and you pick up these fantastic sort of interior design magazines. It's all beautiful and white, and sort of very much sort of the French country look sort of thing.
Yeah.
How can you guys sort of fit in with that? Because again, if you're a family with children, you can't have that sort of pristine white.
Yeah, I think it's really important because it's our job really to make sure that the space just doesn't look beautiful, but it actually works. So if somebody comes to us and tells us that they live on a farm and they've got 3 dogs, the last thing we're going to suggest they do is, you know, have a beautiful cream sofa.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to suggest to them that perhaps you need something a little bit more practical, something that, you know, you were going to be able to get cleaned, something that you're going to be able to perhaps put a throw over it to stop it. You know, getting the dogs can jump on the throw and then you can chuck the throw in the washing machine. We are very practical as well as having that sort of design side of it. And I think the two very much need to marry together to make sure that it works.
How does it work if, I know we've sort of just briefly touched on the budget side of things. Obviously, as you said at the beginning, if you are sort of the footballer's wife territory and budget's no option, it's meaningless, that's fantastic. But what happens if you're the other side of the fence and you're saying, well, look, I just need a helping hand in the right direction, but I'm a bit more constrained on budget? How can you then help a homeowner to get that? To get that look?
I think it's going back to that industry knowledge. So if somebody tells us they've got a budget, we can work within that budget. And the designers are trained to know, you know, which items are going to make a really big difference. So it might be that together with your designer, you would choose to spend a lot of money on a real big wow piece. In a bedroom, it might be having a beautiful upholstered bedhead made in a lovely fabric. But then you might choose to use a less expensive fabric on your huge windows, and therefore you're making that budget go a little bit further. And there are lots of clever ways, and it's having that access to all of those different suppliers and the knowledge of what to get from where, and then that sort of that sense of style that these guys have into being able to pull it all together that is really going to make the difference. So you don't always have to spend a lot of money to get a really good look.
With your experience in the business, what are your, I suppose, top tips if someone is looking to appoint and instruct an interior designer? What are the key things in your mind that people should be mindful of, and sort of any potential pitfalls that they should avoid?
I think the absolute key to it is finding somebody that you get on with and that you can work with and that will listen to what you're saying to them and will take it on board, and the things they're coming back with are going in the right direction. And that's easy to test out, because you can come along to one of our showrooms, which is what we suggest most people do as a starting point, and you can just browse through some fabrics, you can chat to the designers, because we've got lots of designers, and it might be that one designer you particularly gel with more than another, and that's really important, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with this person, and you're going to be perhaps having them in your house and sharing sort of your personal space with them. So, you know, you really do need to be on the same wavelength and to make sure that you work together, and you need to enjoy working with them, because at the end of the day, it's meant to be a fun process.
Yeah, no, it is. It is indeed. And I suppose, just on a parting note, if someone just said, well, look, I just want, I suppose, reorientating and pointing in the right direction, as you said, the designer can come out for £175, but I guess there's no obligation. They can sort of say, well, Alex, you know what you need to do, what we think you need to do, X, Y, and Z. And
that's absolutely fine. And some people do that. And then they'll come in and they might just buy a mirror and a lamp, and then we never see them again. Other people might decide to take down all the real curtains and start from scratch. Either's absolutely fine.
Fantastic stuff. Well, Eleanor, I can't thank you enough for coming in. And if people wanted to sort of chat through everything in more detail with you, what's the best way to sort of reach you guys?
Yeah, you can come in and see us, I think, is the best thing. I mean, it's very much a touch and feel kind of business, and we like to think we're the sort of the friendly, approachable side of interior design. We have a website as well, so if you want to have a look and have a read about us before you do that, we're www.furnishandfettle.co.uk, or you can call us at either of our showrooms. The number for Weatherby is 01937 581451, and our new Harrogate number is 01423 560 757.
Fantastic. Eleanor, thank you once again, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
The Property Hospital, Stray FM.
The Property Hospital is all about me answering your property concerns and demystifying the process. Now, this week I'm answering a question from James, who's got this to say.
Hi, Alex. My house sale is under offer and going well, and we're moving in quickly in the right direction. My purchaser's in a great position, chain-free in cash, and it's put me under pressure to exchange, but only leaving a couple of weeks until completion. How do I manage the situation, and how can I pack up my home in time?
James, appreciate the question. Now, if you've got a buyer that is clearly in a strong position and enthusiastic about exchanging, then it is well worth keeping them on site. Shake their hand gleefully and honestly, run for the hills. In other words, get them signed up ASAP so you've got the security that your deal has gone through. Up until the point of exchange, transaction is virtually meaningless. Now, if you're worried about the relatively tight time frame and packing up your home, don't worry. Many home removal companies offer a home packing service. You literally don't need to do anything, and their team come in, wrap, pack your entire house, and you can even ask them to unpack at your new home. Surprisingly, I have to say, it really isn't a huge amount more money and well worth outsourcing this fairly tedious task. I hope this helps.
The Property Hot Seat. Stray FM.
Name.
Marrow Archidiacono.
Business.
Cathedral Financial Planning.
Years experience.
10 years.
Fantastic to have Marrow from Cathedral Finance here with me, and we really are going to delve into a lot of detail about, dare I say, the banks at the moment and lending, and in particular, the first-time buyers out there. Marrow, it may sound a bit of an obvious question, but why on earth are the banks so reluctant to lend, I think, to everyone and anyone out there at the moment, or is that a bit of an unfair statement?
I believe it is a bit of an unfair statement, actually, to the banks. The banks in the past have been accused of lending irresponsibly to those with little or no deposit and less than stellar credit profiles.
Yeah.
And that's got the banks into trouble. It's also got borrowers into trouble. Since new mortgage rules have come out around 2014, banks have been asked to lend responsibly by the regulator. These new rules impose banks to lend no more than 4.4 times gross income.
Okay, that's useful to know. I mean, but why they just put it seems, and it comes across to, I say, general member of the public like myself, that there are just so many hoops to jump through and obstacles. How? And I know we'll come on to first-time buyers, but if you are just looking for a mortgage, what do you need to do and set up possibly in advance, trying to sort of get around those issues?
Absolutely, that's a very good question for first-time buyers. It's very daunting, and I'm sure that you and I have the greatest of respect and sympathy for first-time buyers trying to save this mammoth deposit that they need to buy their first home. And you know, lenders do want to lend to first-time buyers. They just want to make sure that the first-time buyers are going to be a good egg to lend to. In that respect, first-time buyers can position themselves in terms of making sure that their credit profile is a good one, that has strength. By doing that, I'm finding that when I do speak to first-time buyers, that they're fresh out of university or fresh out of college, and so they may feel that they have the perfect credit score. But in reality, they haven't proved that they can borrow money sensibly.
So is that about sort of getting your first couple of credit cards but not necessarily using them sort of thing? Or
absolutely. So what I tend to recommend first-time buyers is to take out a credit card and just to put their shopping or put their petrol on there and just to pay it off each month.
Yeah.
That shows lenders that you are able to manage credit responsibly.
And when it comes to first-time buyers, I know you briefly touched on it, is it all about the deposit? I mean, back in the day, it used to be, oh, if you've got a 25% deposit, then you know what, you're going to get the very best rates out there. But again, house prices, especially in and around our areas, we know it's expensive. Do you need to save up that level of deposits? How can one get around it, especially if you're a first-time buyer?
There are a number of options available to first-time buyers, and in terms of, you don't need to have the substantial deposits that lenders would like to see. Of course, lenders will reward you if you have a substantial deposit. And substantial deposit, you're talking about, say, 25% of the purchase price. But lenders will look at those with a minimum of 5%.
Okay.
There aren't many lenders out there that will lend at 95%. But now, in terms of open credit, the banks are willing to lend. You'll find that probably there are about a dozen lenders who will lend at these high 95%.
Is there a stinging in the tail? Because obviously, if they're doing 95% loan to value, say to a first time buyer, is that first time buyer paying a huge amount more on their interest payments?
Yes, you know, a lender will reward borrowers with more deposit, with a better rate. The rates do tend to change every 5%. So the minimum deposit that you need to put down is 5%. Rates around the 95% borrowing tend to be around 4% mark. If borrowers were to put down a further 10%, then you'll see an instant lowering of rates. So the more you've got to put down, the better the rate you're going to get.
Okay, and I mean, everyone sort of talks about, the bank of mum and dad and trying to sort of get funding that way, whether it's for your deposit. I mean, the stamp duty rule changes have slightly gone in people's favours. There is a bit more of a discount when it comes to stamp duty. But if your parents are fortunate enough and they can lend you something, then obviously that's an option. Again, first-time buyers, how can you get around that? Yes, if you've got that from Bank of Mum and Dad, but if you don't have that option, are there any other paths that you can go down?
There are a few other options for first-time buyers to consider. There is what is called a Help to Buy scheme, where you go into partnership with the government. With respect to Help to Buy schemes, these are designed to help those struggling to save a deposit for their first home or move up the property ladder. The Help to Buy schemes are restricted to new built homes only. The buyer is required to raise 5% of the property value as a deposit. The government will stump up a further 20% through a local agency, and with the combined borrowing 5% from your own savings and 20% from the government savings, this will allow you access to much cheaper rates.
More preferential rate.
In terms of other schemes available to first-time buyers, if they've not got the 5%, housing associations will allow you to part buy and part rent your home, so you're able to buy a share of your chosen property, typically between 25% and 75%, on which you'll have to take a shared ownership mortgage. What are the benefits of a shared ownership scheme? Shared ownership scheme allows you to gain a foothold on the property ladder in an affordable way.
Maris, with great insight there. You're actually, most people don't know this, but you're actually a very qualified chap, because you're able to offer all sorts of bits and pieces, not just about first-time buyers and mortgages. Just briefly touch on what you can offer.
I'm a qualified independent financial advisor. I work for myself. I'm a sole practitioner. I'm qualified to give advice in investments and pensions and protection. I'm able to offer tailored financial solutions in a simple way.
All sounds great. And if anyone wanted to talk through, in particular, first-time buyer mortgages, pensions or investments, what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to reach me is either via my website, which is cathedralfp.co.uk, on my mobile 07999196984, and I'd be happy to help. Happy to give a free initial consultation, and until I'm able to understand how I can help you as an individual, there is no charge.
Fantastic. Well, Marit, thank you very much indeed for giving us great insight into the world of lending. Really appreciate it.
Alex Goldstein's top tip.
When it comes to instructing a conveyancing solicitor for your sale or your purchase, the key is to do this sooner rather than later. And I am constantly amazed how rare it is for an estate agent to flag this up to their clients who are selling, or indeed to purchasers. Well, I can all hear you saying, well, Alex, that's great, but what is the actual point of doing that? Now, look, if you're selling, for example, you're going to need to provide original or authorised copies of your passport and a recent utility bill. Scan and email is no longer accepted. You're going to need to sign the solicitor's paperwork, ask them to open a file, plus instruct them to collate the title information, go through it, and if there's any issues to iron out, you may need to get some indemnity insurance. As the vendor, you're also going to need to dig out all your paperwork and the guarantees and the certificate. And before you know it, you've easily wasted 10 days trying to secure all this information. Now, if you haven't done this early on, you're now going to waste valuable time sorting this out, very often at the point of going under offer. And this is really when you should be focusing and progressing towards exchange. Most importantly, if you do forget to do this, it sends completely the wrong message to your buyer and dents their confidence, because you're wasting 10 days before the solicitors can even do anything with the whole transaction. So the key, always instruct a quality solicitor and ensure you do it at the same time as instructing your estate agent. Then there's never going to be any surprises down the line. That's the Alex Goldstein Property Show, and yet again some superb top tips and features. If you need expert information, videos and up-to-the-minute property news, then head over to my website, alexgoldstein.co.uk. Alternatively, if you require personalised advice or 15 years of experience advice when it comes to buying or selling your property, please get in touch directly. The next episode is out on the 1st of June, so make sure you tune in for that. Until next time.